Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, January 31st. Can you believe it? The last day of January already of 2017. Well, this is a pretty consequential day because President Trump nominated a rather good judge for the Supreme Court. Of course, he's got to go through the whole process, as we know. But his name is Neil, and I'm gonna have to get used to this name, Gorsuch, G-O-R-S-U-C-H, G-O-R-S-U-C-H, and he's from Colorado. I don't know if he was born there, but that's where he was practicing in Colorado. I just saw the introduction. He seems like a pretty sensible fellow. Has a beautiful family and. Just seems to have all the credentials that we would want in a Supreme Court nominee. The last time he was up for before the Senate, he was unanimously confirmed. But of course, it's going to be a little bit different this time. Of course, when they go to the Supreme Court, because then you get abortion into the game, and that changes everything. Today we're going to be chatting with our friend George Rodriguez. We're going to put him on in just a second. But I've got a couple of quick things I want to say about January 31st. On this day in 1931, Ernie Banks was born. He was born right here in Dallas, which a lot of people don't know because of his long connection to the city of Chicago, where obviously he spent his adult life, not only as a player, but as a community hero, if I could put it that way. He was extremely popular in Chicago. He died in 2015. And today we say happy number 70 to the one and only Nolan Ryan, who turned 70 today. And that, let me say hello to George. How are you, George?
Real good. Real happy.
Yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day for us. What do you think of Nolan Ryan turning 70 today? Isn't that
seeing him. I remember watching him, and he was about, oh gosh, maybe in his mid-20s, late 20s, just being impressed at how fast a man could throw a ball.
Unbelievable. He was just an amazing and a very good guy too, a very good person as well. So we say happy birthday to the one and only Nolan Ryan. Well, we have a judge. I was trying to pronounce his name when before you came on, and it's going to take me probably a little bit to pronounce his name, but it's G-O-R-S-U-C-H. Gorsuch, I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I think that's
am I
how
right
pronouncing
on that?
Yeah.
I
believe
so
that's how they're
pronouncing it. I'm going to go with President Trump since he called him Gorsuch. I'll go with that, and it's probably correct. But, I have a post today at the American Thinker, George. I sent you a copy because I was going to bring it up, and I wanted you to be aware of it, but in which I argue that this week, or not this week, but over the next couple of months, we're going to see the ugly face of Roe v. Wade once again show up at a Supreme Court hearing. And what I'm saying is this. Before Roe v. Wade, I've gone back and I've read a little bit about the nomination process of previous justices. You know, the two of President Eisenhower justices, the last two that he put in, I think he put four altogether, but the last two that he put in, I don't know the gentleman's names, but the last two were actually done on a voice vote in the U.S. Senate. Most of the time, what we did is we went out there and we found a judge, who had temperament, had a good record, had a strong resume, and we put him in there. We didn't sit there and try to read every opinion that he wrote. But because of Roe v. Wade, all of these nominations have now turned into a debate about abortion. And I think that it has really, how can I put it? It has really poisoned the well, and it has completely destroyed civility in the Senate, as we will see over the next few weeks, George.
It really has, and it's a sad situation, a sad day. when, you know, the name calling, it becomes the norm in a debate. Not only that, but this attitude where if they don't even participate, where they leave hearings, where they don't even participate in the process, somehow that, you know, that shows well for them. I mean, it's amazing to me. The issue of Roe v. Wade is going to be so contentious and hot. It's going to be, you know, the end of the world as far as women's rights. That's what we're going to hear. It's the end of the world for women's rights.
Right. And they call it health care, by the way. They call abortion health care, which I find that pretty bizarre to call abortion health care. But here's my point about Roe v. Wade. You know, people can disagree on abortion. I happen to think abortion is a taking of human life, so I don't support it. But there is what I believe is one thing, but, you know, the government or the people through their legislatures can come to a different conclusion. So, for example, if we had a congressional law signed by the president saying that abortion was legal, I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't approve of it, but at least it would have the legitimacy of the fact that it was passed by the legislature and it went through all of the hearings and all of that a law goes through. But when you have a justice basically saying, by the way, I've just found this right to an abortion somewhere in this document, I think that, you know, we've been arguing, it didn't really settle anything. It didn't settle anything. It simply has divided people. And every time we have one of these hearings, you see how Roe v. Wade has just torn up this country. And the best thing that could happen to the country would be for Roe v. Wade to be overturned and have states or even the federal government make a decision on abortion. At least get it out of these hearings, George.
Yeah, it is it's a situation where logic has just gone out the window, and it's all about emotion. You know, there was a sign the other day that was very prominently shown on the in the news, where this woman was carrying a sign in that protest, the women's protest, that said, "It's not a life, it's a fetus." And there, that's where, you know, that is the bottom line there. They do not recognize that growth within them as a human life. It is, well, who knows what it is. It's not life. It's, you know, a tumor maybe. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure exactly sure how they view it. And while there is that interpretation, then we're going to have this battle that individual, that life, that person does not have rights that the individual that's carrying them, they don't have it. And the emotion that goes with it, there is no logic that can defend that. Only emotion. Only the argument that it's my body, and I'll do what I want with it. Well, okay, you know. And I mean, right. while the Supreme Court takes that stand, well, you know, probably that's, you know, that'll stand, and hopefully, with Mr. Gorsuch on there, with Judge Gorsuch on, and I am hoping, you know, like crazy, that if push comes to shove, they will use the nuclear option, because that was created by the Democrats. You live by the sword, you die by the sword, so to speak. If that's a last minute or a last ditch tool that they use, I say, so be it.
No, I agree with you. I think that I've begun to reconsider the filibuster a great deal, the 60 votes, whatever they call it, because I think that over the last few years, it has actually the 60 votes is nothing but an excuse to keep Congress or the Senate from actually voting on things, because they cannot get the 60 votes. They don't have to vote on anything. And I think that it has actually hurt the U.S. Senate. It has just hurt the relationships of the senators. And I think that honestly, I think we should do away with the 60 votes and just have a majority, and have a 50, just a simple majority to get anything on the floor or to put any judge in the in the courts. I just think it's gotten to the point where maybe at one time when the Senate was supposed to be a different organization, as you know, the founding fathers did not want to have two houses of representatives. So that's why they created the Senate. The Senate was supposed to be, you know, the House was where you would get into fistfights, and the Senate was like where, you know, you would actually sit down and try to logically arrive at things. But honestly, that's not the way it is now. That's not, I mean, when you
saw what just happened,
that's right. But I mean, when you saw this nonsense today, where, you know, they were going to vote on Judge Sessions and the Democrats don't show up. I mean, come on, how childish can we get? But I tell you, Roe v. Wade has done so much harm to our political system, to the political well. It has poisoned it. And I just wish that we would eliminate it, if for no other reason, so that we don't have to go through these nominations where every single nomination, George, is a debate about abortion. I guarantee you that I think there's, 10 Democrats, 11 Republicans on that committee. Every one of those 10 Democrats is going to ask Judge Gorsuch, are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade, Judge? Are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade? They're not going to ask him about anything else. They're just going to ask him about that. And I don't think that's healthy for the country, George.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, when you base all your politics on one issue, something's wrong. Something is terribly amiss in your political perspective when you base it all on one given issue. And you know, it is literally the tyranny of a minority in politics with the Democrats at this point. Literally, if they are going to bend to a few folks who believe that strongly in abortion on demand, then you know, then they deserve to reap the win that the political win that's coming that direction.
That's right. No, you're exactly right. And I think in a lot of states, like here in Texas, we thought that through the legislature we wanted to make some adjustments, if you will, to abortion, requiring clinics and all of that to be available, and that was shot down 4-4 by the Supreme Court. But I mean, if we in Texas cannot define or decide that an abortion shouldn't happen after 20 weeks or whatever, I think this abortion thing has gone completely nutty. And I think the best thing that could happen to the country would be for Roe v. Wade to get overturned so that we can once again we can take this vicious, and that's what it is, George. I mean, they're going to be calling, you remember Bork, were you in Washington during Bork?
Yeah, well, I went up before the Senate for my confirmation hearing a month before Bork, and, you know, it was vicious, vicious, vicious then, and when Bork came on, it got even nastier. I mean, it was, you know, the emotion, again, the emotion, you know, of getting people to come before the Senate and have emotional breakdowns, you know, crying and sobbing, never mind, you know, an argument, a lucid argument, a complete explanation of what it is specifically that you dislike or don't support about an individual. No, it becomes nothing more than emotionalism, and then the media runs with it. That's what's even worse. The media will run with it. I mean, look, I mean, instead of making fun or at least questioning the ridiculous crying spell that Schumacher had the other day, Schumer had the other day, you know, they just went along with it like it was perfectly normal. I don't know.
Well, and then you have, they're already protesting tonight at the Supreme Court. They don't even know who this, I mean, anything about this guy.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's like, as I understand, they had placards. They were handed placards, and the name was left blank because they didn't know what name to put on
there. Yeah, right.
So when they knew that it was Gorsuch, then they write in, I mean, this is about as irrational as it gets. They don't know anything about this guy. The only thing they know is that the people funding them, the, you know, the feminist and all these left-wing groups, have basically told them, you have got to go in there, you've got to kill this guy, because this guy is going to take our right to an abortion away. And I'm sitting there saying, so that's all that matters to you folks? I mean, that's all that matters? I mean, the Constitution, I guess, doesn't matter. It's really, I'm worried because, George, again, as I say in my article, it's basically they're just out to destroy this man because that's how they get funding. And I just don't think that's healthy for the country. I just don't think it is. I remember when President Obama named these two ladies to the Supreme Court, I don't remember Republicans. In fact, I think Judge Sessions voted for one of the two ladies, even though he disagreed totally with her. But he was saying, hey, you know, you've got, you meet the standards of the objective standards. You have experience and so on. And I'm going to vote for you because he won the election and he selected you. We got to get back to that, George. We really do.
We really do. And I'm not sure, you know, given the way that the media plays the game right now, as well as how the millennials are sucked in, I'm not sure if we're going to, because there are so many young people that just go along with the program without knowing exactly what's going on. It's very dangerous. It's very, very disturbing.
It really is. It really is. So I just hope that Mr. Neil Gorsuch, who by all accounts is an absolutely outstanding gentleman, a professional judge, a man who by all accounts is qualified for the Supreme Court. I just hope, by the time these hearings are over, that his wife is not there sitting crying. Remember the incident with Mrs. Alito, where she just got so upset at one point that the things they were saying about her husband, that she was like literally tears. And
that's right.
I just hope it. I hope it doesn't come to that, but I'm afraid that it will. George, I'd like to take a little break, and when I come back, let's talk a little bit about this travel ban that has been such a controversy. We'll get into that. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Well, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Just a quick note on the show information. I've got a couple of links there that I'm going to recommend that you click on later. One says follow me on Twitter. If you're into Twitter, the show and my blog posts end up on Twitter every day. And then, of course, I have one that says check out my blog. And you can go down there and also have the blog post sent to you by email. So hopefully you'll have a chance to do that. George, 31st day of January, President Trump has been president for 11 days now. That's kind of hard to believe.
These
have got to be the wildest 11 days that I've ever seen. And let me just say one thing, and I think for the most part I'm happy with what's happened, but I am critical, though, you having worked in the federal government, you know how important procedure and process and implementation is anytime you try something new. I am disappointed with the way this travel ban was implemented. I think that they weren't as organized as they could have been. Maybe they didn't explain it correctly. And I think they lost a little bit of PR, if you will, over the weekend. I agree with it, but I just don't think it was implemented the best way. Well, what do you think, George?
Well, you know, I mean, again, having been on the transition team for Reagan, I will tell you that, like this situation with the firing of the acting attorney general last night, apparently there are a lot of Obama hangers-on. I was talking to one of my dear friends who's who's in the Cruz Senate office, and he was telling me, you know, that there are that the number of people that have dug in their heels is tremendous. So I am not sure how critical I can be about the rolling out, because any way that they did it, it was going to be met with resistance, not only internal resistance, and I mean obviously the media and the Democrats in general were going to scream and yell about it, but the actual folks the actual bureaucracy that's supposed to carry things out, they are very, very dominated right now, very much dominated with top heavy with folks who are leftovers from the Obama administration. Yeah. And so I'm not sure how they could have done it. I mean, it is a big, important, clumsy process anytime that you're going to put out any kind of statement, any kind of policy, any kind of directive. It is a big, cumbersome process. And, you know, the situation is always that you have to have the proper coordination from this group, from that group, from that agency, this agency. And I just can't help but feel that either way, they were not going to get it, so they did it the best way they could. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Now, well, the other thing that I see is that I think that to a certain degree, given everything that has happened over the past week, over the past 11 days, I think that in some ways they have taken a devil be gone approach to things. I think that they have taken a very reckless. I don't know if I want to say reckless. I think that it's in my book it's more do or die approach.
Right.
And you know, it could have been done a whole lot different. Yeah, it could have been explained a whole lot better. Yeah. It definitely could have been announced and processed a whole lot better. But unfortunately, I'm not sure that it could have, to be honest with you. I'm not given the
situation. No, I'm with you. I understand. He has a very adversarial media that is just out to get him. I mean, they're sitting there just out to get him on anything. And he has obviously a Democrat Party that doesn't have the votes to stop him on anything. And they've just become a bunch of screamers and so on. So I completely agree with what you're saying, except here's what I would have, if President Trump had come to me and said, how do we do this? This is what I would have said. And I'm surprised, frankly, that Steve Bannon didn't suggest this, or maybe he did, but I would have recommended this to President Trump. I would have said, the night before you go on television, let's say Friday night, you go on television and you explain that you're signing this executive order, why you're doing it, what countries it applies to. I would give a little context that these were some of the same countries that the Obama administration had identified. I would say this is not going to apply to green card holders or people who've helped us in Iraq or whatever, and then go that way. I think that the country would have been prepared. What unfortunately happened, as you know, on Saturday was that he basically lost he lost the story to the media, who were basically telling you that people were being arrested. It was like a police state at our airports. When in fact, George, 325,000 people, I didn't even realize we had that many people coming to the United States on a given day, but I guess we do. 325,000 people landed in U.S. airports on that Saturday, George. Something like 110 had issues. That's not bad at all. That's not bad
very
at
good.
All. But
it's a very
not
low
bad
low
at all. Yeah, I mean that's so low that it's almost incredibly low. But that, unfortunately, because of the way it was implemented, you would have thought that it was 100,000 people, and that you know we were torturing people, we were waterboarding people at the airports, and it's not a big thing. It's been corrected now, and it's working well. That's the only thing that I would have done differently, just maybe in the presentation. But, one thing I wanted to say about the protest, I have a post on Wednesday morning where I say that when our family came to the United States, it never occurred to my parents that they had a right to come to the United States. They wanted to come to the United States, but they always understood that the United States would have the last word, that we would be vetted, in other words. And the idea that somehow, you know, you see some of these placards and you see some of these marches, and I'm beginning to wonder, George, I mean, who's telling these people? Don't these people understand that the United States has the last word on whether or not somebody comes in, George?
Yeah, well, apparently not. The, the situation that we've got with these folks demanding that they be allowed into the United States, it borders on the hysterical. I mean, it just is. It makes no sense. And you know, equally interesting is the way that the again, there was a report on National Public Radio this morning that I would happen to listen to, and the New York Times reporter admitted that she went out of her way for 15 minutes looking for somebody who had a bad experience at the airport. She admitted it. And, I'm not sure how many people that were listening to the station caught that. But she admitted that she went out of her way to find somebody who had experienced a bad situation and to interview them. And, of course, you know, the interview was, a crying session that, you know, they were caught up that the kid had to go to the restroom, and the restroom was located a distance away, and they didn't have change for a Coke machine. And, I mean, things that, if you listen to them carefully, did not rise to the level of a Senate investigation. But,
right.
You know, there they were. But there they were.
Right. But the moral of the story, it seems to me, George, before we conclude, the moral of the story is, if you're the president, if you're President Trump or in that administration, you need to understand that the media is not looking out for you.
Oh,
that they're
yeah.
gonna go out of their way to make you look bad. And you almost have to have that mindset.
Well, they better have that mindset. They better have that mindset.
Yeah, because
it's not gonna get any better. It's not gonna get any better.
No, it's gonna get a lot worse, because now we're into the Supreme Court, and I as we were saying before in the previous segment, this is going to get about as ugly as anything can get over the next. I mean, there are going to be things said about this poor man, Neil Gorsuch, that, I mean, he is going to be a racist. He's going to be anti-people. He's going to be anti-woman. I mean, basically, every conceivable ugly thing is going to be said about this man. I think he's ready for it. I just hope that the administration understands that he's going to be devoured. Or
yeah,
attempted to be, and it's going to get very ugly. Well, George, as always, thank you for your time. It's always a great honor to have you and to chat with you. And let's pick it up in a couple of weeks and see what's going
on
in this crazy world.
A lot will happen in a couple of weeks, I guarantee.
I think you're exactly right.
Well,
thank you so much, and enjoy San Antonio.
Have a good one. Bye bye.
All right, thank you so much. Judge Rodriguez, George Rodriguez, I think I said Judge, George Rodriguez, our good friend down in South Texas. Always a lot of fun to catch up with him. But it's going to get crazy. I'm just telling you, it's going to get really crazy over the next few weeks, the next couple of months with this nomination to the Supreme Court. It is going to be crazy. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.